Hebrews, and we're in chapter 3. We should close down chapter 3 tonight, but do we have any news for prayers? Anybody?
Brother Linus Apa in Nigeria's motorcycle broke down on him when he was going on a 100-mile trip to remote village this Sunday, and he thinks he's got it cobbled back together, but he needs some prayers for support there.
All right, we'll get some prayer. So, anything else?
Yes.
Do what?
Work. Job.
Okay. We'll be in prayer. And get you some job. And we got to be in
tonight.
Be in prayer for here. Yes. Tonight, here. Just be in prayer.
Obviously, I could use some prayers.
You're doing a great job. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer and move into our study. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the word of God. It is so alarming, Heavenly Father, to be straightened out about the 40 years. And Father, we pray that we can learn from it. Be edified in our own life. Pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. We're in a study of Hebrews, and right now we're looking at the generation that were walked out from Egypt, but that was it. That was it. They never got any further than that. So we have little things to learn from that. So first of all, we're going to call today, God was angry for 40 years. God was angry for 40 years. Now, the thing about it was, we're going to see Moses was angry, but Moses really blew it. God didn't. But he was angry at the people. Now we have five questions in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 16, 17, and 18. Five questions. Hebrews 3, 16. First question. For who provoked him when they heard? Okay, now, who did that? Think about it. Second question in verse 16. Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Were all of them involved? Then, Hebrews chapter 17, third question. And with whom was he angry for 40 years? So there's my words. Not made up. That's what the Bible says. Four question. Was it not with those who sinned whose bodies fell in the wilderness? We'll talk about that in a moment. Then verse 18. Well, the fifth question. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? Question. Then closing it out, verse 19. And so we see that they were not able to enter before because of unbelief. Unbelief. Now, here are the answers to the questions. Nearly all of the five questions, the answer is Israel. in the desert generation. Now, point one, the goal of the Exodus generation was Canaan, going to the land of Canaan. Canaan was not a type of heaven. It was going to be a land of honey, grape and honey, and a place to live. Point two, as with the Exodus generation, so with every believer in the church age. Now what I'm going to do is tell you some things with each of these as we go through. In both cases, Canaan and the church age, both cases, it is the opportunity for learning the Word of God in the church age and study. We have something they did not have. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They didn't have that. We had something else that they did not have, a completed canon of Scripture. They didn't have that. They had the opportunity, and we have the opportunity of spiritual, by God's giving and the plan of God. Every believer has the same opportunity. It is not a matter of ignorance. It is a matter of negative volition. That's the great issue. And four, the question again, who are the ones who heard and revolted? The answer to the question is simple. All the Jews of the Exodus generation are in reversionism or are backsliders. They entered into the backslider except for five people: Moses, Caleb, Aaron, Joshua, and Moses' second wife. One of those only two actually made it into the promised land, Caleb and Joshua. Now, so, indeed, did not all those who come out of Egypt led by Moses? In other words, didn't all those who followed with Moses, weren't they involved? The answer was in the affirmative. Yes, they were. One, Moses was the grace leader from God who delivered the Jews from slavery. God uses human agency to lead them out of Egypt. Now point two is going to think. The action of the aorist participle. We're just doing some learning now. Some action of the aorist participle precedes the action of the main verb, which is the action of their momentum against God. They came out of Egypt before they revolt against Moses and God. They first were delivered by God. They had freedom to follow God or revolt against God and against Moses. So three, the Jews were graciously delivered from Egypt before they entered into reversionism against God. The Jews were graciously delivered from Egypt before they entered into reversionism against God. They went into the backslidden area over a period of 40 years, and this started immediately. Point four. At the end of Exodus, in 1440 B.C., there were approximately 200,000 adult saved Jews. Jews saved. Five, of the grace deliverance of the Jews, plus the faithful teaching of the Word of God, should have oriented the Jews to the plan of God and to God's grace. If God did the most for us in salvation, what can he do for us then? He can do more than the most. Therefore, point six. God provided the solution at the cross. Going on, jump up to the cross. God provided the solution to the greatest problem of all, our sins. And he did it through grace. God provides the solution to minor problems through his grace. The major problem, sin, and its penalty, was solved at the cross. And lower problems are also solved by his grace. Now, if that didn't make any points, just let me know. Point seven. We have more grace as believers when we needed it, and more grace than we needed at the cross. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Now, point eight. The principle of backsliding is found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. Who have you, now talking about you, the ones who backslider, never knew, served useless from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. That's what these people have done. Fallen from grace. Now, point nine. Backsliders. Reversionists. Always reject the authority of God sent by his teachers. God sent Moses. And so in Exodus chapter 17, verse 5, but the people thrived there for water, and they messed up the writing here. Why now have you brought us out from Egypt? So to kill us and our children and our livestock. Now, please remember, every one of us of these have been saved. We're talking about believers. They've all been saved. But not only Moses, but others like Jeremiah, teaching Jeremiah 44:16, as for the message that you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we are not going to respect you at all. We're not going to do it. Or of Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is open wide. You are not restrained by us, that you are restrained in your hearts. And even in the 21st century, in our age, from a few people, few teachers, teach of the teaching of the law, the truth of the Word of God. Point 10. Biblical descriptions of backsliders are reversionists. So here I've just taken up some of them listed. 1. Drifting off course from grace, Galatians 5:4. 2. No one failing from grace of God, Hebrews 12:15. 3. Being uncircumcised of heart, Jeremiah 9:25-26. 5. Tortured soul from sins in the soul, 2 Peter. Now, 5. Unstable souls, 2 Peter 2:14. 6. Lukewarm, Revelation 3. 7. The enemy of the cross, Philippians 3:18. 8. Fallen, Revelation 2:5. 9. Leaving your first love, that is, leaving Christ. All right, now let's go to our study, verse 17 is the third question. With whom was he angry for 40 years? Verse 15. And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Of course, we know. Angry is the same question in verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 3. It is used to communicate the presence of God's love coated with disgust of God and is dispensed with the people. It is used to refer to a human term used to ascribe to God in order to explain why God was displeased with the Exodus generation out of Egypt. Now, go to the fourth question. The fourth question. Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness, the whole generation? This was a strong affirmative answer. With 200,000 corpses, when almost everyone who died throughout the 40 years in the wilderness, their death was because of discipline. God was disgusted with the enemy, with the entire generation who came out of Egypt. They died because of the sin unto death. The entire group, some 200,000 out of Egypt, died because of the sin unto death. They were warned, but they were negative. But now they were dead, but happy with God because they were all believers. Verse 18 offered the fifth question. And to whom did he, God, swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? And to whom did he, God, swear that he would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? God swore with a promise, with an oath, used for a solemn promise. And when God promises something, you can count on it. It's going to be done. They did not enter the land of Canaan. They went into the paradise where one of the criminals who died with Jesus Christ went right after he died on the cross next to Jesus Christ. They went to the same place, same paradise. Now, not entered is rest. This is believers on earth. This is not heaven. This is paradise or the leaven of heaven. In the church age, this is where believers die. Some who die in sin, some die in spiritual maturity, or on all of the growth to maturity, which is in grace, but they all die to the same place as believers in the church age. Okay, one, death of a believer in the church age who is a reversionist, backslider, is kept away from the spiritual maturity or growth as a believer while they're here on earth. Two, the backslider dies out enjoyment, dies out of enjoyment from with Christ and glorifying Jesus Christ in his or her life. Three, in the 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, tells us that most of the Exodus generation were laid low. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, they were laid low. Now, I had to do a little work. The word today, laid low, which is a term for to be thrown down or to die in a shameful death. To die in a shameful death. Which means they are laid low in the dirt of the wilderness. The fourth point. We talked about backsliders and about the few who entered into Canaan. But what about Moses? Moses died on the edge of the desert of the promised land. He did not enter the rest. So let's look at what is happening. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you have not believed me, that's given to Moses, not believed me, to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, and therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. So, just wanted to give a little moment to learn a little bit about Moses. Deuteronomy 32:51, Moses was not allowed to go to rest because of three things. There were three reasons he did not go into the promised land. First, Moses had had enough with the people. He let frustration or bitterness or prevail soul. Two, he did not listen to God. God said to him to speak to the rock to draw water. But Moses had had enough, and he struck the rock twice, and water came out of there abundantly. Now, all I want you to point out, he disobeyed God, but I want you to know that God went ahead and brought water. So, God is dealing with Moses, God is dealing with the people. They're getting their water. But Moses is going to get some trouble. Third, Moses did not give God the credit or the glory for the water. Note carefully how God spoke and how Moses spoke. Numbers 26, then the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Verse 7, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, verse 8, take the rod, and you and your brother Aaron, assemble the congregation, and speak to the rock before their eyes, that it may yield its water. So God told Moses, just take care of the rock, look to it, speak to it, get the water for the people. Continuing, you shall thus bring forth water for them out of the rock, and let the congregation and their beast drink. So this is what he was supposed to have let them do. Now, continuing, what happened was, I'm not getting a good reading on the translation. Just as he did, promised them the water. Now, verse 10. And Moses and Aaron guaranteed the assembly bestow him. And he said to them, listen now, you rebels. This is Moses talking to the people. You rebels. And he said to them, listen now, you rebels. We bring down water for you out of this rock. We bring out the water. Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and the water came forth abundantly, and the congregation drank. Verse 12, But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you have not believed me, to treat me as holy in the sight of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land I have given you, as he had commanded them. But he goes on bring things not commanded. You rebels. That wasn't from God. This is his attitude, not God's. Shall we bring forth water? We people do not bring forth water. Only God can bring out water. They, Moses and Aaron, both blew it right there. Blew it. They did not give God the glory. All the people were to watch and see God provide for them. It was really for them to learn. Look what I do for you. Just hit the rock, speak to the rock, I'll bring water. They're going to have it. We're going to go under. It's going to go wonderful. They didn't do it. 3:19. So we able to those who are able to enter, not able to enter, into the rest. Backsliding or reversionist is characterized by a breakdown in the faith rest life. One of the primary failures of being a backslider is at the point of the Word of God. A backslider simply doesn't take the Word of God for face to face. Explanatory sense, it is here used in the Greek to explain the five questions they explained the disobedience of the people in verse 18. The disobedience is the unbelief. The disobedience is the unbelief. So we see means we understand what happened when people became backsliders. That is, we understand that they do not listen to the Word of God. We learn from the writer of Hebrews. We learn from the entire passage. Here is the richness of standing the Word of God, receiving the land. The introduction, this introduces what is being understood by the writing of this passage. People, right now, right here, is the great problem of every believer who does not press on to the maturity. Right here. This refers to stupidity. This refers every believer who really does not even begin to grasp what the Word of God is saying. Now, many people, they grasp at the Bible by knowing the gospel and telling others about the gospel. And while that's important for you, for your own individual Christian life, there is all so much more to know about loving Jesus Christ and loving about the Word of God. And now, how much you know, you still have mistakes and failures, just as Moses did in the 40 years of the wilderness. In the case of others, you are very slowly, and it is so difficult for you to grasp what is being taught. For an example, Samson is a good study. Spent his whole life, never really grasped it, and then went into suffering, blindness, seeing things that he finally grasped. Samson's understanding. Study the Word of God of the people throughout the Word of God. Learn about faith, and learn from those who did not learn about faith. Here is our study. Here is our entire generation. We're going to grasp belief of God and God's plan and God's word in 40 years, and they kept missing about it on just his faith. That's where they lost it, just at the faith. People, you do not want to miss out your short time on earth on the grace of God by knowing about trusting him. In the 40 years, any one or every one of them could have recovered from reversionism and enjoyed the short time left on the land. Oh, how I know so many people who have, and some still have, the opportunity to become rich in Christ, but they do not learn about it. They do not learn to trust Him. I have some whom I love, but they are not busy, but they're just too busy in life to press on to maturity in the take of the Word of God. And think about the generation. They had some 40 years not in the war, not in wars, not in battles, not in poorness of war of life, but they wasted away. They know we want to tell Jesus Christ in salvation. But people, it is your life. So what I'm saying is, a lot of people want to just spend their telling people about the Lord, but it's your life. So that advantage of your life. But that they do not set themselves on the spiritual food available to them. I don't know when the rapture is going to occur, but we still have today in the Word of God, some of the very tense about the rapture, the end. But what about today? What about learning His Word today? America was greatly blessed by God in America, but that is going away. So let's take hold of the Word of God. The joy of the riches of our spiritual life is found in some 410 years of the book of Judges, where we learn of some who never learned of life of unbelief, but some who did learn about faith, the study of Kit. You're in only study, in our study here, the 40 years of wilderness. They really did not have to work for food. It was manna. Remember the manna? As physical food that God provided so they could recover their souls and receive the blessings from God. But they passed away the spiritual food. They took the food of the body, but not of the soul. And even the period of the Old Testament, in the time of Jesus Christ, they were so worried about their food, they did not decide to take a moment about Jesus Christ. They were the most informative people in history. They, one of the most richly foolish people on earth in history who ever believed in Jesus Christ as Messiah, but they didn't do it. They all walked out of slavery in Egypt as free. They walked out free out of Egypt. They were wealthy. They took the wealth out of Egypt. This was one reason why Pharaoh pursued. They took 400 years of back pay with them. They had everything going for them. But the one thing they really charged, it cost them. And with wealth, they rejected doctrine. Just to have the nothing. But the people, the persons who was their leader, came and knew the truth of essential doctrine. That's Moses. Now, let's look at America. If it had the best leaders, different in many different ways, families and lives, the interest thing, all the people came need is a clobbering to come to the truth. God sometimes takes people down to do nothing. And now the great opportunity comes. Some take advantage, some do not. Sansom did. This may happen in America. I don't know what is going to happen with America. They had in our study the lack of faith, of faithfulness. And their trouble and their problem is that remember them, they have salvation. Their problem is the rejection of doctrine, not salvation. The doctrine is here. That leader is one of the greatest teachers in history, Moses. But they rejected doctrine. Normally, when we use the word unbelief, we're speaking about people who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. But here, it refers to those who know the Messiah, but unbelief lies into his learning. We are dealing with a generation of believers of Jesus Christ as Savior, but do not live their lives in and for Christ. And this means no rest. Well, this is where we will begin next Wednesday night in our study. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. We pray, Father, that we do not take the warning of these people, but that we grab hold of Jesus Christ and knowing right now, each day in our lives,